Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on My Wild Magic with Adrienne on Transformation Talk Radio. And I am Adrienne. And today, my guest here is Dr. Marie Lynn Worobitz. She is a doctor of veterinarian. And, but she also, interesting enough, does Reiki, and she is an animal communicator. And I came across her recently because, my little cat Lily was coming to her end and needed some help transitioning to be euthanized. And, so I called, one of the vet people who do that. And, I have been just praying and calling for the right person and just really putting my intention in. It was a very graceful, easy, effortless experience. And lo and behold, Marie shows up at my door. And it was just the best of all worlds because she has all that veterinarian skill to really be able to help me with Lily to see, okay, you know, the whiskers are a little close to the face and the eyes are kind of big. And you can tell she's in pain. Like she was just going through all this, you know, the symptoms, which I think when you have a pet and you're trying to make that decision, it's one of the hardest decisions to make, especially for people who are highly empathic or sensitive or just point blank, just really love their animals a lot. Cause you feel like you're killing them in a way. And I mean, it's horrible and you know, it's about giving them peace, but it's a hard call to make. And so I was really grateful, but Marie was not only able to help me with the veterinarian skill to kind of show me what to look for, and that brought me peace to know it was the right decision. It was a helpful thing, not a hurtful thing, but also, you know, we were able to do Reiki and we were able to just kind of, bring some ease, and her animal communications, which I did do a session with her afterwards as well. So Marie, thank you so much for being on the show. You just have a place in my heart for helping me with Lily, and I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was honestly an honor to help Lily out in that moment and help guide you through it. It's like you said, it's one of the hardest days, and I always wish I could sugarcoat it for clients, but it's a selfless gift that we're offering one of our best friends, but it's a heavy gift to give. That's for sure.
It is. Yeah. And so technically you are a vet, like you've been through veterinary school and all that, right? But you're working for a company who specializes in 24/7 type care that helps somebody come to a person's home to put their pet to sleep if that was the right call for them. Which is also amazing, you know, because sometimes getting into the vets and the cat, you know, your animal's already going to be stressed, not feeling well, and then you have to take them into a foreign environment. And so it was just an amazing place that you work for. And the name of the place that you work for is?
It's so Compassionate Care. It's based out of Oregon City. The company's been around for 12 years and it's an amazing, amazing company. And I feel like all of the people that come to do this work are called to do this work. And it's run by Dr. Lori Gibson. She started the company, like I said, 12 years ago, and she just saw a need for taking the clinic out of this end of life picture. Because we know that when animals are compromised, they are so tied to the natural cycles of life and death, a lot closer to those cycles than we are as humans. We fear it. We don't remember what happens for the most part when we do transition. And so with the unknown, there's a lot of fear involved. And so by doing this in the comfort of the animal's own home, we're able to remove that fight or flight response. It's natural for them to come up when they recognize the pattern of going to the clinic. So whether it's a dog getting in the car, recognizing the smells, getting close to the hospital, and when you walk into the clinic, whether it's that smart cat that recognizes the only time that kennel comes out is when we go for a journey in the car to the vet clinic. So there's that. It's a lot more gentle for the animal because we're there in their home, as you experienced with Lily. But not only that, it also means that the human, the bonded human, is in their comfortable space. And maybe they're a little bit more inclined to relax into feeling those emotions and letting them move up and out, because that is really important in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I always love to mention is, if you've been fortunate enough to work with the same vet throughout your animal's entire life, a lot of vets, this is a really challenging time in an animal's life to support their bonded human through making that decision. When is it time? When is it right for your pet to help them transition peacefully?
Yeah.
And so if you've been seeing that same vet all along, with compassionate care, the vets, the beautiful, wonderful vets that we have, that there's 14 of us that do the mobile work. When we come into your home and help, we're taking that burden from your regular vet, so they don't have to take on that load as well, because certainly in veterinary medicine, your general practitioners are really busy, really slammed. And so we just really are grateful that we're able to step in that moment and help all the parties involved, the pet, the bonded human, and the veterinarian.
Wow, that's like a win-win-win, like a triple bottom line there, you know, seriously. Yeah. And it really isn't that expensive either. Like, I can't remember how much it was. Like, what is the fee? Like 145 or 200? Like,
so,
it was.
So it's, so for the home euthanasia service fee, it's based on, so we're based in Portland. And then from there, there's rings. It depends on the mileage. But on average in the PDX area, it's 325. I don't know at this time, that's how much it is. I don't know how much it is in regular clinics to do it. But certainly you are having a doctor come out to your home.
It was well worth it. And it's not, it wasn't as expensive as I thought it would be. You know what I mean? I think actually euthanasia, I had a friend that might have to put her, it's around 200. Yeah. You know what I mean? That I think is about what most vets are going for. Maybe it depends on if you're more rural or whatever. But yeah, so for that extra, you know, $145 or whatever it is, it was so worth it. Mm-hmm. And just, when you know your animal's not well, and then to have to stress them out even further by taking them someplace, like you said, triggering that fight or flight response is just, and I think that when anything makes a transition, if we can do it most peacefully, most gracefully, however it is, it really, I think it just helps that soul relax into it. And so that kind of brings me to another question I oftentimes get asked in my intuitive business, that because I have a lot of people more recently, actually, that not only have a lot of human people have been dying and leaving the planet at rapid pace, but a lot of animals have too. You know what I mean? And do you have any thoughts on what maybe that you feel is causing such a big influx of of that, like thoughts on that?
I can say that I've been noticing it too within the last couple of months going to clients' homes. It's a couple weeks ago or a month ago, we had to euthanize our other dog, or my human family members there within the homes that I'm going into. It's not the rare case. It's quite common where there's been other souls passing, whether human or animals, within that family unit. I have my own theories. What I can say, what I've found astounding with talking to animals, why I came into animal communication was I started on the human side of medicine as an emergency medical responder up at one of the big ski hills in Banff National Park. I was a professional ski patroller, and I loved being able to ask my patients questions. Where does it hurt? What causes it to hurt? All those different things. And so once I heard that we could talk to animals, I have always had an open mind. I was very scientific before I had, strange things happening and my mind opened and my heart opened. But what I'm learning is these animals we're all kind of awakening. We know that we're going through this awakening period consciously. It's not just humans that are the ones going through this awakening. It's all the beings on the planet. And so our animals are also following us and mirroring us as we grow and evolve consciously, which means I am learning through these animals just how deep that connection is between us and them. So when they pick us, and I'm remembering and learning that the animals really are here to help manage our energetic system when we forgot that we're not just physical beings. We all know we're not just physical beings, we're also energetic and conscious beings. So it is really clear to me that these animals are managing our energetic systems, and it just so happens that the reality that we're all in right now, we've been through quite the roller coaster over the last couple of years.
Well, we have.
And with that means we're experiencing big emotions and big energetic blocks and just old traumas coming up, and our animals are helping move that stuff. Mm-hmm. And as they're moving more and more of that, they take it on willingly. It's part of the soul contract. So they move it from our system so that we can stay here longer in our bodies and healthy. So I wonder if part of that increase number of souls leaving the planet is just because there's a lot going on emotionally, physically, energetically, consciously.
Yeah, absolutely. And quite honestly, I like how you're bringing in the nature kingdom. Like, we're, you know, human beings aren't the only beings on the planet, you know, that are going through an evolutionary shift and an awakening. You know, the earth is as a whole, as is the nature kingdom. As you can see it in a lot of weather patterns that have really escalated. The devas, the elementals really do help to clear a lot of emotions out as well through storms and fires and all kinds of stuff. That's how the elementals help, right? And but I've also noticed even people calling with, oh, my favorite tree just fell in my yard, and oh, like I've seen a lot of destruction. But not only do I see more people that have made a transition that just like, hey, I just need to wipe the slate clean, I'll be back, you know, in 50-100 years, whatever, once things are more settled, or it's just time for me to leave. So I've seen a lot of humans leaving for multiple reasons, a lot more animals leaving, but literally even more. Even the nature can, even plants and stuff leaving too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And I love that you touched on what the elementals do. I did a past life regression hypnosis with a trained psychologist, which helped guide me along my path towards knowing why I'm here in body now. But I learned in that past life that what we're seeing as, you know, climate change, it's not just a physical thing, because again, we're not just physical bodies, we're energetic and conscious bodies. And so when we're grounding all this toxicity and heavy stuff that we're dealing with, the planet's absorbing it and she needs to release it in certain ways. And she's got helpers like elementals to do that. Mm-hmm. But I was seeing that too. And that came forward in our hypnosis regression, is that the planet is also, it's not surprising as we move through these challenging emotions as humans that we're also noticing this increase in weather patterns.
Yeah, well, basically we're all in it together. So, okay, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
You are a brilliantly self-aware woman with a big heart and a cycle of dissatisfying relationships. Maybe you're drawn to a man who lights a fire in you but leaves you feeling amiss. Does that sound about right? My name is Love Coach Mariah, and I help women navigate the rough waters of rocky relationship from push and pull to peace of mind. Learn more at lovecoachmariya.com. The first call is on me.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Hobert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Hobert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyhobert.com. That's drkathyhobert.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
We are back. Thanks for hanging in there with us. So we have Dr. Marie Lynn Worbitz with us, and she is a doctor of veterinarian. She is a Reiki master, and she is an animal communicator. So Marie, so when you came here to help me with my cat, Lily, you know, the experience itself was pretty interesting. I work with a particular gemstone called troilite. It's T-R-O-L-L-I-E-T-T-E, I think, something like that, troilite. It's one that a lot of people haven't heard of, but it is an ascension stone. And during our break, I'll go get it and I'll bring it back up to show you guys. But it's this beautiful blue stone that has these different variations of blue in it. But it's good for ascension. It's good for transformation as well as transition. So when Marie came, because my own home, not a vet office, I could do all the little things that I like to do, like light some candles and, you know, I put these four pieces of troilite I had around Lily at each of the four directions and stuff. And so, you know, she's, you know, probably within, I'd say even the first 5 minutes where she's just really starting to go out with the euthanasia, one of the stones, it has a point on it. It just randomly fell over, you know, and to me, I would have considered that's kind of her spirit sort of coming out of her body and maybe sort of giving a little sign. But Marie, you know, what was your thoughts on that yourself, or intuitively? Yeah, your feelings on that. That was kind of cool.
It was a really beautiful moment. And one thing that I love about the home situation, like you said, is the bonded human can set up the environment how they wish. And here in Portland, Oregon, we have a really high number of intuitives in the area. And so I love when I walk into homes, I'm observant, and I use little cues around to know, okay, what is this client like? Are they going to be more straightforward, or are their hearts a little bit more open? Do I see the crystals? Is there a chance that we'll have a little bit more of a, you know, an open-hearted, more spiritual experience? And so as soon as I walked into your space, I knew immediately that I could open my heart a little bit more and use the words that I want to use as an intuitive. And when I saw you lay those four stones out, I'd never seen them before. I hadn't heard about the stone until I came across you. And I just was like, they're so beautiful. And when I saw it fall over, it was, yes. So it's a two-step process. We start with a sedative to get them really nice and comfortable. There's an anti-anxiety medication, pain meds, so they get really relaxed. And there's an anesthetic in that. And then once they're fully sedated and relaxed, and the bonded human gives me consent that they're comfortable with moving forward with the second step, I go ahead and I give an overdose of a general anesthetic. And it was as I was giving that medication that at one moment, right as Lily, I think if I remember correctly, Lily had stopped taking breaths. And I always feel like when the breath stops is when the spirit steps out. I can feel a shift in the energy. And it was in that moment that that stone fell over. And then mind you, it takes about, you know, with cats, maybe 20 more seconds until the heart follows and slows and stops. But I still didn't know fully if I should mention that I just saw that happen. And then I eventually had the courage to say, hey, did you, Adrian, pick up on the fact that that stone fell? And I didn't even have to say, I think you need to keep this stone close, and it's how you're going to be connecting with Lily now that she's out of this body. I didn't have to say it was you that said that. And it was just validation for me. I was like, yep, no, I'm on board. I totally agree with what you're picking up.
Yeah. And on my spirit altar, I do have a little picture of her with that stone on it and everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And so then I followed up with Marie, and it was probably a couple of weeks later
you had offered to do a session for me, a coaching session.
Yeah.
I offered to do that animal communication as just because it felt right. So we ended up talking to Lily. I think it was almost about 3-4 weeks after she transitioned.
Yeah, definitely. And it was really pretty cool, because the other point I want to make is that animals have their own purpose for being here too. They have their own service, their own purpose. They're not just cuddly little things that we feed and pick up their poop and run around and whatever. They actually do have their own sort of soul purpose, I'd say, because a lot of the work I do with people is doing soul blueprints for people, but I feel like animals have their own purpose. And so one of the things that you were saying was about her purring. And even when she had the euthanasia, she started purring, but that was one bond between she and I, is I would just lay my head down on her and she would purr. And it was just a consistent thing, and she'd always do it, and she was always so gentle about it and so gracious with her purrs. But it was one of our signature tones together, you know? And so you brought it up in the reading that she, that I did not know this at the time. I didn't think about it, but when you mentioned it, it totally makes sense that cats' purrs are healing, that they do have a whole healing, and that Lily was talking to you about cats' purrs as well, and that her time on the planet, it was good for her to kind of make a transition over, because she's going to be training other animals. And so her timing was important to leave to help other animals who have healing gifts for their people too. So just to kind of fill in about that.
Yeah. So I am finding, and I don't talk to very many other animal communicators. I only know one or two other communicators, but we are finding that the animals that are finding us, the owners, the people, the bonded people that are finding us to talk to their pets, we're finding the pets are really evolved souls. So just like us, we can have younger souls and older souls and ancient ascended master. You know, there's a spectrum. Everything comes in a spectrum. And so the animals are also on this spectrum. And I'm finding that some of those animal souls that are a lot older and have gone through the cycles of life and death quite a few times, and maybe on other, you know, other places other than Earth, that they are also incarnating at high numbers right now, and we're talking to them. And so back to what we were talking before the break about how there seems to be a lot of souls that are stepping out. Well, when we come into body, again, what I'm learning from the animals or remembering is that when our soul light comes into our bodies, we aren't as strong as, you know, it takes a lot of energy to come down into these physical bodies and incarnate. And so we don't have the same level of conscious impact on reality as we do when we're not incarnate. And so a lot of souls are choosing to step out, animals included, so that they can have more powerful effects on the other side. And so Lily was one of those souls that we learned this is something that you guys have worked on together in other past lives. This is not the first
time. The other point that you can have a pet that you recognize that you just have a bond. Like I found Lily down in California at a VRBO house and decided that, you know, we just had this agreement. It's like a bond. And it didn't seem to me like she really belonged to anybody. And, you know, I brought her home with me. Right. But yeah, you can't. So sometimes I think you can find an animal where you have that click, that interesting, gotta have you in my life. Sort of like when you come across a person with that kind of familiarity. And I think sometimes with animals, we're like, oh, that animal's really cute. Or, oh, they came up to me, not realizing that maybe the pet might have its own intuition and be guided to you. From other lifetimes. Like that was really cool, you know, because you had told me that with Lily and I, we did have a past life that seemed to be more Egyptian, where we were also working together. And so just like with soul groups, because you can have people that you have soul groups with, Your animals and your familials, you know, your pets and so like that can also come back around with you, which brought me so much peace, honestly.
Yeah. And it resonates, right? It feels like truth in our hearts. And I have so many clients that will start when I work with compassionate care in my role as a veterinarian with in-home euthanasias. They'll look at me, you know, they'll get comfortable with me and learn to trust me. And then they'll say, Marie, you're going to think I'm crazy, but this dog's been with me before in this lifetime, or this cat's been with me before. And this has happened at least 30 times, you know, in the last couple of years. And I'll be smiling. And then I'll just say, I totally believe you.
Yeah.
I really think you guys have met before.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they do choose to journey with us. I have talked to a lot of animals that have journeyed with their humans before, but there is that same recognition that we get when we meet a human soulmate or so, you know, soul family, that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I find also like a lot of psychic communication. Like for me with Lily, it's like there was this whole communication going on in our higher self that when you just slow down a little bit and you pay attention, you can pick up on that communication of what's going on just by being a little bit present, you know? So there's the familial bond, the familiarity, just like if you come across a person you feel like you've known before that you can have with an animal. But then there's also this higher self communication or maybe soul communication from the heart too. That's
absolutely.
Yeah, really, really special. I think when people come across that.
Yeah. And what I loved about our session with Lily was that we got to learn how the two of you work together. And it was around this perfecting the cat purr. So our animals here, our cats, our bonded cats with their humans, are here to help move energy from their energetic systems. And for instance, I had this this gentleman that a big ex-Marine, big white beard, in his 60s, and he said, oh, one of my questions for my cat is, why does he love to hang out around my neck? What's the deal? And the cat said, well, and this is amazing because we get information from, again, he's in his 60s, and we're hearing that this animal is, watched this 60-year-old man when he was a 3-year-old in the bathtub talking to animals and playing with animals and talking to him. And the father told him, no, it's not real. We need to shut that down. So his heart closed and had been closed until this kitty cat came into his life. And now kitty cat is laying right around the conjunction between our throat and our heart space. And we know men tend to live a lot up in their heads, and there can be this block in opening our heart. And the cat said, I'm here to open my heart. And so, or to open his heart, I should say. And that's why I lay on his chest. And it was amazing because as I'm sharing this, it's on a, you know, FaceTime, and he starts bawling, and then his wife is sitting next to him looking all strange, like, what is Marie going, what, she didn't even know about this. And this was something that had happened 60 years prior that was coming forward. And wow. So it just shows you how these animals are here to help move with purring, move the locked energy, and help us grow and reach our soul goals.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back with some more animal communication stories.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off, you're killing it in the mom game, but did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Do you feel stuck with unresolved issues and don't know what to do or where to go? Join me, Dr. Kathy Chargaloff, in my show, Life Esteem, Rise and Transform, every first Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Leave your problems behind by learning to follow your path to life esteem. Be empowered and aware of your choices you make in life now. Visit LifeEsteem.com for more information. That's LifeEsteem.com.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Welcome back, everyone. We're with Dr. Marie Lynn Worobitz, who's a veterinary doctor and is talking to us about animal communication. So from our last time, I was going to show you guys the trolleolite stone that fell over when Lily, because I had them all around her body, and they are just so beautiful. And like I said, look them up if you can find them. They're really quite exceptional stones. I have a round one, like a large round one, that I also pray with in the morning. Sometimes when I meditate and I'll hold it, but anyway, very good energy. So, Marie, so tell us more stories.
Yeah. One of my most recent clients that I want to share about, because my passion around this is really around how can we use animal communication to improve the well-being of our patients, of our pets. And so I love how people find me. This was just a local couple. They reached out to me, were referred to me from another client, and they have this dog who has fear aggressions at the veterinary clinic, which is really quite common. And when we have a 55-pound dog, shepherd mix, that has these aggressions, I've been on the receiving end as a doctor in general practice with these big fear aggression dogs. And no matter how much I try to ground my energy and stay calm and grounded, my fight or flight response gets ignited and my heart is racing because my entire being realizes that this animal in front of me, who's just terrified, could really hurt me. And so we wanted to reach out to Ollie, Olympia, and find out, why are you so scared? What's the trauma? How can we help you? Because you have really bad arthritis as you're getting older, and we found a medication that works for you really, really well, but we need to monitor how your kidneys are doing and how your liver is doing while you're on this medication. We don't want to cause damage to really important organs, but she won't let anybody draw blood because she's so afraid. So how can we help her overcome this fear? And so with animal communication, which was really wonderful, and every time I sit down to talk to these animals, I never really know what's going to come forward. And I'm astounded by the stories that we hear. So I was painted this picture I was trying to figure out, how do we do this? And I use all sorts of different tools when I'm doing my animal communications to try and get to create some healing around the wounds. But first we need to know where the wounds are and shed some light on those wounds. And so I was told that it was time to go on a shamanic journey with Olympia, her soul. And she would show me some things and my guides would show me things. So we did that. And in that journey, we were taken to a past life, two past lives. One was during the witch trials, where Olympia had seen a lot of her female friends die in really horrific ways, where they were intuitive, feminine, beautiful, divine beings, but they were killed in very gruesome ways because we just didn't understand those things back then. And so she decided, I'm not going to transition out of my body in that horrific way. I'm going to take control. So I'm going to take these medications. She happened to not take the right dose and was completely lucid for the entire transition, and it was a painful transition. Then we also saw another past life, another Egyptian past life. This time,
wait, I'm gonna slow you down. So she would have been human in that lifetime, right?
Exactly. She was a human in that lifetime.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, because a lot of times people think, oh, plant to animal, animal to human, we're superior, or so surely everything wants to just be a human. But
right? So yeah. There's a purpose why she chose to be a dog in this lifetime. But before we get to that, we go really quickly to another lifetime where she was in Egypt, and she would help guide people through medications to go in journey, get information, and then come back into body. But before she would always test those medications on herself first before she led anybody through a journey with medicine help. And so one time she didn't take the right dose and again was very lucid and had a traumatic passing. So she is in a body now that is still, she's in a dog body now that is still holding on to this fear of losing control when I take medications and not having control over my body. And the quickest way that we can overcome our fears is to walk right into them. So her sole purpose in this lifetime, in this quick dog life, she could certainly come into a human life and work on overcoming this fear and releasing it, but it would take a lot longer. And so the soul that she has decided to, I'm going to incarnate in this dog body with two human souls that I incarnate with regularly and know very well, with the sole purpose of helping me walk into my fear and overcome this fear of taking medications, losing control of my body, and still feeling safe and okay. Mm-hmm. And so we're working through it. We're going to find out how it goes. But her moms would always say, I knew she wasn't a dog. She just doesn't even act like a dog. And there was a lot of stuff that came from it. It's just one indication of how a commonly human incarnate soul might choose an animal soul to incarnate in, because the life period is much quicker. And once she overcomes this fear, she has to do it herself. She can come back in another lifetime to do it. So we have real talks with them at the soul level with these animal communications. And I do feel like we're going to have a good outcome with this, which hopefully she will, so that when she does transition and comes back into body as a human, she doesn't have that trauma to carry with her, and she'll be better grounded and able to bring forward what she really needs to bring forward in that next lifetime.
Yeah.
So just one example of why.
Wow. Yeah. That one's really interesting. Yeah. And so one of the other questions I do get asked a lot in my line of work is, do animals have souls? I mean, I think we can pretty much verify that, but what's your thoughts on that? Like, you know, cause you are connecting to that being on the other side. Is it just an elemental being? Is it more conscious? The other thing I noticed about people's pets, sometimes when I tune into them, is some of the work I do with people is looking at their tribes of light. So are they coming from an angelic origin, a star being origin, a cosmic avatar origin? What kind of tribe of light do they work with? But in the process of that, I find that pets also can sometimes be very star being-ish, you know, kind of like with those character traits, are very angelic like, you know. So my vote is yes, they very much have a soul, and it's not just an elemental soul, but it can come in from other, that they also have like a spiritual sort of dimensional energy that they're coming in with as well. But what are your thoughts on that, just from some of your experiences?
Yeah. And I can only speak from my own experiences, because my little world is, you know, it's just my perspective. But, in my heart and soul, the way that I understand who I'm communicating to is at the quantum level, where the conscious soul lives. So outside of the physical realm, outside of the energetic realm, it's telepathic communication at the conscious soul level. And when we talk to beings, any being at that soul level, we get the eternal perspective, the perspective that sees across lifetimes and remembers the lessons, remembers why we chose to come into this body, this life experience, why we chose to be surrounded with the humans and family that we chose. The same, from what I'm learning, applies to the animals too. Again, I don't know if that's because they're the souls that are coming to work with me tend to be these higher, more evolved animal souls. But I do really feel within my heart of hearts that they do have souls. I also think that plants have souls. I think stones yes. have souls. There's just a different level. But yeah, I do believe that we are talking to the soul level because we are getting information outside of time and space with these animals. Mm-hmm. One beautiful example of, it certainly is clear that I don't have to be next to the animal to speak to them. So space doesn't matter when we talk at the quantum level. And I have a wonderful example where time doesn't count either, because 2 years ago, I spoke to one kitty cat, and I have learned never to edit information that comes forward from my clients and my pets. And although I really wanted to edit this out, the cat said, "She's pregnant now. I feel her in her belly. It's a girl. I picked to be here now. I'm so excited." So, wow. Right? And so 2 years ago, I share this. I start with, you know, this could be information that is outside of this now time, because we're talking at the quantum soul level, and it may not make sense. And so, and I brought up, he says that you're pregnant. It turns out that they had a recent miscarriage, and that's really hard stuff to walk through when you're sitting there with a client. Luckily, I've had two miscarriages of my own, so I was very able to support them through that. Anyway, 2 years later, I see this Facebook note that they're expecting a girl. And so I send a little message saying, "Oh my gosh, Griffin knew that you were going to have a little girl. And he said that he's laying on your belly." And he and I just sent her what he had said 2 years prior. And she wrote back. She was like, "This is insane, Marie. He lays on my belly all the time and rubs up on it and can't get enough of it. And never, ever did that with my son." And she's like, "These words that he said 2 years ago apply perfectly to what I'm seeing today."
Wow.
So for that reason, I can't help but feel like we are talking to the soul level that sees across eternity.
That has a lot of consciousness too. Yeah. You're right. That can pick up on a child that's going to come in, that can pick up on, you know, what a person like the Marine guy that needed healing energy, the woman who's going to have the baby. I mean, these are things that, you know, doctors, other people that are close to them aren't necessarily picking up. And these animals just do have an instinctual knowingness and can communicate about it consciously with anybody who's going to listen. It's just beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. It really has been an amazing journey that I feel so fortunate to be walking, and just really want to bring awareness to it. I had no idea animal communication was a tool before I moved to Portland. And I think every vet should know that this is a possibility.
Absolutely. Yeah, all of us. Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute with some more animal communication stories and how you can be present with your animal.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Right. Welcome back. Thank you for being on the show today. And we are listening to fascinating stories about animal communication. You know, I don't even really like calling animals animals, or, oh, that's my pet. Like, I've been trying to find an alternative word for, like, they're our pet friends, or they're like, you know, I'm looking for a word that I could use that's not demeaning to how conscious they are. Have you come across anything yet? Like,
So the words that I use are the bonded human and the bonded animal, because to me, they come animal. As a pair.
Yeah.
And so I agree, though. I've always been, I very much am an equality person.
Yeah.
Going exactly. through my training in veterinary medicine, because of my past, I had done all the other jobs. And so when I would walk into a clinic, I saw myself at the same level as the receptionists, the technicians, the assistants. We're all contributing our little gift to the puzzle, to the piece of the puzzle. It's a team effort. So I totally get why you would be wanting to find a name that didn't feel demeaning, but I haven't come across one yet, unfortunately.
Yeah. I sort of feel like, you know, we're stewards, we work together, but bonded human, this is my bonded, whatever. Yeah, I hear you.
But one thing that I want to mention is that what opened me up to this world was being told to the world of animal communication is that we can really all hear our animals, mm-hmm. and we can all talk to our animals. And so some of my close veterinary friends, I've been encouraging them to talk out loud to their patients, because our furry friends, our animal companions, they aren't told from a young age that you cannot talk interspecies telepathic communication. Well, you cannot use They're not told that it's impossible to talk to another species using telepathic communication when they're young. But as humans, we are. And so it's this program that we have to dismantle. And that was the hardest part for me, was dismantling that so that I could hear them. So knowing that our animals use telepathic communication all the time amongst themselves, and we see it when we see the dog and the cat, or the dog and the horse out in the field, they're not using oral communication. There's something going on. They're understanding each other. So what I'm trying to say is our animals understand us when we talk out loud to them. So the act of talking to them not only sends a physical sound noise, it also sends an energetic and a telepathic message. Here's where we get caught up, is people are like, yeah, I talk to my dog all the time, but they don't listen to me. Well, I can talk to you, Adrian, and make suggestions for you on how to grow and move into some discomfort and heal. But at the end of the day, you have to be the one that accepts and takes that on. Mm-hmm. So just because we're talking to them, they have free will. It doesn't mean that they're going to listen. So the first thing that I always love reminding people is talk to your pets. So if you have an anxious pet, talk to them out loud before you go on an anxious activity, whatever that is. If you have a pet that's about to go in and get spayed, tell them what is about to happen. Talk them through it. I've done some client animal communications for those kinds of situations where the animal's a lot calmer going into it. Mm-hmm. So please know that your pets do hear you. Talk to them. Just talk to them. Tell them why you're giving meds. Tell them all the things. Now, the challenge is us hearing them back. Mm-hmm. And when I found out that this is very much, I don't want to use the word gift, an ability that my soul has used in other lifetimes. So I have spent quite a bit of time working with this. So it comes to me relatively naturally, which has been very helpful for me. But anybody can do it. And all I needed to hear from one of my mentors was, when I was in the animal communication course, was we talk to them from our conscious heart. Mm-hmm. Everything I believe in this physical world, energetic and conscious world, in order to connect with it, everything in this world and outside of this world, we do it through our conscious heart. And so if you're comfortable with this, I always like to try and take clients through a really quick guided meditation of moving from living and being in our headspace and bringing that consciousness down into our heart. And then from that place, reaching out to our animals and talking to them and being open to receiving from them. So if you're comfortable with this, I'd love to take us through that really quick meditation.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And then also I just want to, something we were talking about in the break is that even if you don't have a bonded animal or a furry friend in your life, you can still communicate with animals, because we come across, you know, we come across these little beings all the time. Maybe they're our friends or family members or something we see on the street or whatever. And I, yeah. So anyway, just be open to, even if you don't have, you know, a pet that's living with you.
Yeah. And yeah. Really, before we go into the meditation, a very quick example of that. One of my close friends who's very sensitive and empathic, Sarah, she was out and about just the other day, and this dog comes bouncing up to her and is all up in her face, super happy. She gets down low, is excited, and he licks her right in the mouth. And she's just like, whoops, I didn't mean to do that. And then once he does that, he bounces off and goes over to some grass and eats some grass. And then mom was like, the bonded human mom was like, that was very strange. He never likes strangers and never does that with anybody. That's a really strange thing for him to do. And you could tell from the energy coming from mom that she was really quite shocked. And then that's an example. Sarah does not have, she lives in a place where they don't allow pets. So although she's very empathic and benefits very much from the energy work of animals, she can't have them live with her. So there's an example of an animal that came in, and Sarah's actually moving through. She's about to do some stand-up work, doing some presenting in front of big audiences. And so it made sense to me that that dog would come up, give her some kisses, move the energy from her mouth, which meant the dog then took it on, complete stranger dog to her, then goes to the grass immediately to eat the grass and ground that energy. So we don't need to have pets.
Wow.
They do, even just a split moment where it seems super synchronistic, they can come in and move energy for us when we're not even aware of it.
I love that. I love that. Yes.
Right. And she felt so much better afterwards too. A little strange that, you know, the dog got right in her mouth, but
definitely
helped a lot.
Yeah.
One
thing about, I like what you've been saying. So I know for me, when I'd go to bed at night, Lily would come, but she would lay closer to my knees. Whereas, with my roommate, she would come and she'd lay closer to her throat and her heart and stuff like that. And my roommate maybe has like throat, heart speaking, her heart speaking her truth. That's where she, but for me, I've had some issues with my knees moving forward, that kind of thing. And so I'm just making the comparison. I just keep hearing you say, well, the animal goes, you know, your pet friend goes to the places on your body or your energy field that kind of need help the most. That's something to be aware of. If you do have a furry friend, what is their habit with you? And really look a little bit deeper into why they may be doing that particular behavior or going to that particular place.
Absolutely.
That chakra, that part of your body. Yeah.
And that's why as vets, we see a lot of people that will tend to have their animal has a similar disease process as the human is navigating through. So a client with lymphoma, intestinal lymphoma, I have gone to help euthanize their dog that is now has intestinal lymphoma and needs to transition because they've moved so much energy, ensuring that that human can stay around a little bit longer on this side.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So the meditation, let's jump right into it.
We're just going to close our eyes, take a nice big breath through our nose. And exhale, feeling the tension of the day releasing. Now I want to bring our next breath into our head space and golden light filling up our head. And exhaling, feeling that tension releasing in our body. Now, as we're taking these slow breaths in and out, I want you to bring your awareness into your head. I want you to imagine that you're standing in your head, looking towards the back of your head. And as you look in this direction, you notice that there are these elevator doors right in front of you. And you instinctually step towards them and push the down button. And you wait just a moment, and the doors slowly glide open in front of you. And you walk into that elevator, and you turn around just in time to see those elevator doors close behind you. And you look up, and you see that you are in your headspace. The little label that normally says the level, and we're in our head. And then you push the down button. There's a little button there with a heart on it, and you push that button. And you feel the elevator start to move, and it moves down one level into your throat. And then it moves again to the next level and into your heart. And you feel that elevator stop. And the doors gently open in front of you, and this beautiful pink-green light flows forward towards you, and you step out into this space. And now we are consciously in our heart space, where we feel, where we know, and we connect with everything inside of this world and outside of this reality. And it's from this space that we reach out to our animals with unconditional love. And we are open to receive their messages, whether they are sounds, images, feelings, knowings. And just feel into what it's like to be into that space. And I recommend falling into this heart space for any soul work that you do. And so it is.
Wow, beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Yeah.
Very quick and easy.
Very quick and easy. Yeah. So, yeah, I love that. And just sitting there and just kind of going into a deep inner listening and maybe calling forth your pet's name or just an invitation to their soul. Sometimes what I'll talk to my clients about doing is doing a soul letter where they, you know, kind of write a soul, you know, a letter, you know, on that level.
I think there's a lot of medicine to writing because I do, when I communicate with animals, everything is written out for me and there's a lot that comes in that way.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to come into completion now with that. And if anybody wants to get in touch with Marie, you can reach her at consciousHealing117@gmail. consciousHealing117@gmail for animal communication. And if anybody wants to learn more about your soul blueprint, you can reach me at mywildmagic.com. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it was really lovely.
For tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.